So we've got a lot of things to get to. I am so excited. Let me say this to you. In light of the fact that we knew that the senatorial debates would be televised tonight, and, of course, WLS carrying the debates as well, we thought it would be great, wonderful for all of us to have the candidates to come in studio so that we could talk with them directly. Because the debate environment is a more controlled environment. Well, as it happens, one candidate accepted. He said, yes, I'd love to do that. The other candidate declined. His office told our people that it was a little bit too late for them. So, not to be deterred, we offered to have me come in a lot earlier than I normally do to record an interview with State Senator Barack Obama, but they declined that offer as well. So I just want you to know, we tried our very, very best to have State Senator Barack Obama to join us tonight, but we couldn't make it happen. We did make it happen with I'm about to call him Senator Keyes. I'm just stopping myself here with with Alan Keyes, who is in studio with us. Dr. Keyes, good evening.
Good evening. Thank you.
And also, your wife is here tonight.
That's okay. Here,
she said, I just want to say hello. It's a pleasure to see her. And Connie, hey. Okay. Before we go and talk to people, I'd like to get your feelings of tonight's debate. How do you think things went for you tonight?
Well, I thought it was a good exchange, and I also thought that there was an opportunity to put some things on the table that I was very anxious to make sure that people knew. I was particularly anxious to be able to talk about the real impact of abortion, mm-hmm. particularly on the black community. And I think the question about whether race was a factor and what it meant was the ideal opportunity, really, to talk about the impact on my own sense of the importance and priority of these moral issues that the Holocaust that's going on in the black community has. And I'd been praying a lot that the Lord would give me an opportunity to do that. And it happened, and I was very grateful.
Yeah, I liked about the answer. You pointed out that abortion is the number one cause of death in the black community, and that's a fact that has not been talked about very much at all. As a matter of fact, this is the only second time that I heard it. The first time was actually last week when another person who was very aware of the situation talked about it. But it's an important fact, especially when we talk so much about AIDS, which is an important issue, breast cancer.
Well, see, they talk about all these issues as if they are the critical ones. And if you take AIDS, violence, accidents, and cancer and heart disease, all of them combined, and they are less than half the death toll from abortion.
That's unbelievable.
Since Roe versus Wade was decided. It's just remarkable that there is this literal... And you realize, too, that after 3 days of the abortion toll, mm-hmm. you have killed more black people than were killed during the whole course of the Ku Klux Klan racist lynching campaign.
Hold it right there.
That ran from 1918 to the 60s.
I'm sorry, you hold it right there. With that kind of fact, you would think that the NAACP, that the Congressional Black Caucus, that the Reverend Jesse Jackson, that any Kwesi Mfume, any number of people would be out and standing on the mountaintop saying something.
But the thing that breaks my heart is these folks are willing, supposedly, to focus on the problems that face the community now, and yet... If you project into the future what is going on with abortion, mm-hmm. by the time we get to the middle of the 21st century, the black population in America will be negligible. In other words, we are declining, relatively speaking. It's already happened. Mm-hmm. As I said tonight, there are 25% fewer black people in America today than would be here, except for abortion. And people say, well, why did we decline? Why aren't we the number one minority in terms of population? The main reason is abortion.
Sure.
It is appalling to me that we watch this genocidal destruction of life taking place, and by and large, people don't want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And you have folks like my opponent who will act as if they're doing something to address this or that problem, when in fact, the main cause of death, they don't even want to bring it up because they're advocating it.
It's interesting, too. It's a brutal irony. The founder, Margaret Sanger, Planned Parenthood, follower, proponent of eugenics.
That's right. And she was actually quite explicit about wanting to get rid of people she called mentally defective, retarded, inferior, backward, a human waste, she referred to them as. And a particular project was put together into which, by the way, she co-opted a lot of prominent black people. But in the correspondence between herself and her cronies, like Clarence Gamble, she wrote that, well, we would want to get the black ministers involved, because if we get them involved, then if the idea gets out there that we're trying to exterminate black people, we'll have somebody to knock that in the head. And the truth of the matter is that she was, in fact, associated with and aligned with all these people all the way over to the Nazis who had in mind the extermination of what they called the inferior people.
And when we look now through history at this date, we can say she's winning. I want to make a point here, because a lot of the criticism I think that you have faced is that you are a one-trick pony, a one-issue, you know, guy. You can only talk about abortion or homosexuality. And what was interesting about the debate tonight, the questions clearly controlled by the panelists, and, of course, each of you being you and Senator Obama, both had an opportunity. The issues tonight, the war in Iraq, independence from the machine here, Mayor Daley. The machine gun issue was interesting. I'm going to play that later on for our listeners, particularly those who did not have an opportunity to hear tonight. You talked about just so many things, and I think it's really clear. You talked about capital punishment, the 17th Amendment. You went on mandatory death sentences, on and on and on. And you clearly, what I've noticed tonight, and I've already understood this, but I think it gave more people a better opportunity to understand, we are talking about two extraordinarily clear, philosophically different individuals on the issues. I know we said we wouldn't take any calls, but it would really be a crime, because so many people, I mean, our phone lines are ablaze with people wanting to get in here. And again, I do want to make mention for those of you who are just coming into the program, Alan Keyes is in studio with me tonight, but we did extend an offer, an invitation. We actually really wanted Senator Barack Obama to join us here as well. They said that that would not be possible. And we also made the offer to pre-record an interview with Mr. Obama. That also was not feasible. So what we'll do, Dr. Keyes will not be here very long, but for those of you who have comments, by all means, come on in, 591-8900. I'm Deborah Rowe. It is the Deborah Rowe Radio Program. You're listening to News Talk 890. We are WLS. News Talk 890 WLS. Devereaux here taking your calls at 591-8900. We have just a few minutes here with Dr. Keyes. So let's go right to the phones and say hello to Rosanna, who's on WLS. Hey, Rosanna.
Hi, Deborah and Dr. Keyes. I don't watch boxing at all, but a technical knockout is really the only words I have to describe tonight's debate. It was really wonderful, and I'm very thankful, because what Dr. Keyes does is he reminds me, he brings more clarity to me about my faith. And those are the kind of people I need around me to remind me that my faith should shape my life, remind me that morality is the basis of the freedom, you know, that we have and the foundations of liberty. And what I thought was interesting is one time Mr. Obama said that his job was to vote his conscience, and yet really what he was saying to Dr. Keyes is that he didn't have a right to have a faith conscience. So I just...
But he pointed that out. Rosanna, let me say thank you. I want Dr. Keyes, if he wants to respond, to
No, I think the last observation was correct. Obviously, it's something I pointed out, because how can you vote your conscience as a Christian if you leave Christ out? I don't have any part of my conscience that's not shaped by my Christian faith. And therefore, if you tell me to leave Christ out, my conscience is gone. So I didn't understand how he could say he would vote his conscience and then leave his faith out. It doesn't make any sense to me. It's just something that doesn't compute. I have no concept of this.
I was at a meeting a month or so ago, and you were being discussed, and one of your supporters said, you know, I'm firmly behind Alan Keyes, but we're not electing an evangelist, so to speak. How do you respond to that?
Well, see, but I think that the moral issues that we face as a society, whether we're going to maintain marriage, that's a fundamental social institution.
Yes.
Whether we're going to kill children in the womb or respect our civic principle that mm-hmm. we're all created equal. Remember, that's an American civic principle, not a religious view.
Yes.
That's the Declaration of Independence. But my faith conscience is relevant because it gives me the courage to stand up for the truth that's in that civic principle.
Yeah.
Without my faith, I wouldn't be motivated to do that because that principle requires respect for the Creator God and for His authority. So I think we have a special duty as faith-driven people in our citizenship to stand in defense of those principles without which our country can't survive, but which we especially will take seriously because they take seriously the sovereignty of God. So I think that's the relationship. It's kind of a special mission we have mm-hmm. as a result of our faith, which gives us a kind of special vocation as citizens.
And also the courage to do that, which
exactly.
is right. All right, 591-8900. Let's say good evening to Peggy, who's on WLS. Hey, Peg.
Hi, this is one of those interesting moments in time. You know, it's like tape record this because you're going to refer to it later. One of the things that I especially enjoyed about this debate was that it was real clarification. As the woman before me said, if you have no conscience, C.S. Lewis talks about men without chests, you know, you take your heart out. And you have a person that is well able to compromise on the basis of what? Nothing. He just floats. You know, is it the most money? Is it the man with the most power? The man who drives the best deal? What causes him to compromise? And on what? And it's very important for someone to stand up and say, there has to be a basis on which you make your evaluation. This is the basis on which I make my evaluation. What is your basis? I thought it was a very good question. Where are you?
Well, that's an important question, Peggy, because that, I think, is what's critical here. I do believe we are at the crossroads, and it really is going to require people who are going to be willing to take a stand, even when it's not popular. I want to move over to something that you and Barack Obama really went toe-to-toe on, and I thought it gave the viewers a fascinating glimpse at the issue, particularly of this gun control issue. And also when you talked about the measures to apply the death penalty to gangbangers that kill police officers, and we learned that Barack Obama did not support that.
Yeah. Well, see, there's a contradiction in him. He wants to pretend he cares so much about violence. He gave that moving statement about somebody shooting and the mother standing there. He acts as if the gun caused that problem.
Yeah.
So I prove that I care about this violence by going against the gun. And then when it comes time to go against the person who pulled the trigger, he's weak on everything.
Yeah.
He seems to misunderstand the nature of human life, which is that inanimate objects don't go around killing people. And you've got to take account of the human factor and do something about it if you really want to deal with the problem. And that's what led me to say that this whole approach he takes, whether it's the assault weapons ban or whatever, it's politicians who want to look like they're doing something mm-hmm. when they're not.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be able to claim credit for having taken a step, and yet they don't want to address the real problem because they don't want to deal with the people. They don't want to deal with the tough issue of how you handle folks who are out there terrorizing their communities with violence, and you need to take a stand against them. It's one of those things. I heard it, mm-hmm. and it didn't compute. How can this man say he cares about violence and then vote time and again to do nothing about the most violent elements in our neighborhoods?
But then when he talked about it would have been redundant, so to speak, because there was already measures in place to deal with that. But when you pointed out, but your position on hate crimes, equally superfluous, but you have no problem with that.
Well, because he knows in the hate crimes thing, he's trying to make a special point about how bad that is, so
yeah.
you discourage people. And I'm saying, we want to make a special point about how bad it is to be in gangs terrorizing your neighborhood. And he says, that's superfluous?
Mm-hmm.
It's not superfluous when you're being terrorized by these gangs.
Interesting. Interesting as well. I'll tell you what, we had so many people that wanted to talk with you. But as was pointed out tonight, your campaign, not especially high with a lot of heavy cash. And I know you got a lot of great people working for you. So you have to spend your time.
We have more cash than some folks thought we would.
Yeah. All right. I'll tell you what. 591-8900. We'll make a quick decision here. I know Dr. Keys is on a very tight schedule. I just appreciate the fact that he thought enough about you and me to take the time to come up here and talk with us since they were just downstairs. I'm Deborah Rowe. It is the Deborah Rowe Radio Program. 591-8900. News Talk 890 is WLS. Getting your reaction to tonight's debate between State Senator Barack Obama and Dr. Alan Keyes, 591-8900. Again, for those of you who are just coming into the program, it's important that you know this so that we won't get, you know, it's so unfair how you wouldn't give Barack a chance. We actually invited Barack Obama. We've been working on that for quite some time. They declined, even declining an opportunity to do an earlier pre-recorded interview. But Dr. Keyes was here, and he has more work to do tonight, believe it or not, and then he's out again tomorrow morning. One thing that does baffle me about Alan Keyes, and I mean this seriously, I have now had the opportunity to talk with him on a personal level a half dozen times now. It is baffling to me how this man, who is one of the most humble, I mean, really, soft-spoken almost guy, so he's just a really gentle man, a gentleman. How is it that his image, he always, every time I hear a comment or somebody, you know, some analyst or whatever, you know, he's so abrasive, he is not at all. That just baffles me. How does he, that gets lost in transition, I guess you'd put it that way. Hi, Mark, you're on WLS.
Hi, Deborah.
Hey.
I thought he was phenomenal tonight.
He was.
I really did. I got such energy, and I'm so motivated to go out and just reinforce that people have to go out and vote for him.
Mm-hmm. What particular, anything in particular that you heard tonight that just said, yes, what was it?
He just speaks his conscience. What you see is what you get.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a baffling smokescreen, which is what I find Obama's all about.
Yeah, he does have a tendency. I mean, Dr. Keyes, he really is very effective, Mark, at just cutting through the clutter and getting right down to the core of the matter. And oftentimes, the core of the matter is nothing that anybody's talking about.
Right.
You know? Thank you, Mark.
I actually had a question for him. It's something that I haven't heard either candidate talk about. I wonder what his stance is on public education and the voucher system for those of us who choose to educate our children in our religious beliefs.
Well, he actually, if not answered directly, clearly alluded to it tonight. He wants families to have the choice of what to do with their children. I think you should get over to his website, as a matter of fact, both the candidates, as a matter of fact. Get to their websites. We have now, 12 days remaining? And if you don't get a chance to hear either of them talk, if you don't receive campaign literature, if you don't talk to people that support either of the candidates, you have your computer. Go on over to their websites, and you can find out a whole lot more. And I've been to Dr. Keyes' website, and I've been to Barack Obama's website, and both of them. And even with Keyes' website, you'll find a lot of issues that, for whatever reason, media don't want to bring up, but they did talk about, he talks about them. Jan, you're on WLS.
Hello, Deborah.
Hey.
Hey, what a wonderful evening this was, and it was a long time coming. It's a shame that Senator Obama is going to take such a duck on those seven debates that he was champing at the bit for before Mr. Keyes, Ambassador Keyes showed up.
It suddenly went down. At first, it was almost no debates. Then, after pressure, they worked themselves back up to, I think, three.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we know why, and it's probably the same reason why he took a duck tonight and it wouldn't show up. But I thought that there was a mild disrespect shown tonight by Senator Obama, since Ambassador Keyes did not seem that it was undue for him to refer to the senator by his title.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, Senator Obama disdained from that. He just decided, well, it was going to be Mr. Keyes all night, and never gave him his proper due. That was one of the things I noticed.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing was I noticed that they were both clever, and I would say in Ambassador Keyes' case, I would say virtuously clever, the way that he spun the question around and directed it toward the idea of school choice and parental responsibility for education,
yeah.
which, of course, is natural law, if nothing else. But on the other side, when Senator Obama did his rebutting, he would say various things that really flat out weren't true, but they were subtle enough he could get away with it, like saying that the ambassador was against stem cell research, which, of course, he's not.
Well, it's, the point that you're making, where I really caught it was on that gun control issue.
Mm-hmm.
When Dr. Keyes laid out the fact that, you know, Barack Obama had not supported important measures, he then came back and Barack Obama came back and said, you know, he had the support of the Fraternal Order of Police. Yeah, let me do two things. One, let me say thank you again for sending me that copy of the Constitution. You know, I always appreciate that. I don't forget that. And also, let me say thank you because tonight's program obviously cut down. We lost an hour to the debate, so we need to get in as many people as possible. Here, let me do this. I keep referring to this issue of guns. I want you to take a listen again to what was discussed tonight during the debate. Andy Shaw, if I'm not mistaken, asked this question. Let's take a listen.
Senator Obama, you talked about your votes on behalf of public safety and to protect police officers. So let me follow up on something Mr. Keyes mentioned. Mandatory death sentences for gang members who kill cops or jail guards, you voted no. The right to let cops go into dangerous places with search warrants without knocking on the door, you voted no on that one. Explain, if you will.
Absolutely. On the first bill, it was unnecessary, which is why it was vetoed by the governor. This was a bill that said that gang members, by virtue of furthering gang activity, will be death penalty eligible for a whole host of crimes. Here's the only catch. It turned out that all these crimes were already death penalty eligible. So it was entirely unnecessary and potentially unconstitutional because it said, for example, that I could kill a police officer, but because I was a gang member, I would be potentially treated differently than a gang member who was killing a police officer. I think both of them should be death penalty eligible, and that's the reason that the bill was unnecessarily and constitutionally suspect. With respect to the potential for police officers not to knock when they go in, Mr. Keyes, I'm sure, appreciates the importance of the Fourth Amendment. The issue of search and seizures. And it strikes me that it is important for us to have some parameters with respect to how we enforce our laws, just because that's how we protect our civil liberties. And although these are oftentimes tough votes, part of my job is to make sure that I'm voting my conscience, and if a poorly drafted piece of legislation is put before me, that I vote against it, even if I know that I'm going to take some political heat in the future.
All right, that was obviously Barack Obama's response, and Dr. Keyes very well, I think he did a great job in pointing out that he had no problem in, you know, heaping on when it came to hate crimes, but he had a real issue when it came to legislation for protecting our law enforcement.
It is kind of odd. I'm willing to wager, we could hear, but that Senator Obama would not think it superfluous to have what's called hate crimes legislation that adds a special animus to certain acts of violence already penalized under the law, but in order to convey against those particular acts a certain special category of opprobrium from the society. Whether one supports that idea or not, it is clear that you don't look upon it as superfluous because the law provides an extra message that is aimed at discouraging certain particularly harmful things to the society and the community. And that, of course, was the purpose. If you have communities that are particularly threatened by gang violence, and you want to send a particular message to those who are drawn into that process of violence through their association with gangs to make it less attractive, then you would use the law to send that message. And as with hate crimes legislation, it's not superfluous. It is, in fact, one of the functions of the law. And by using that function, you are also sending, in the case of the police officers in dangerous places, it is always the case that these rights are subject to prudential judgments and that police officers can be put under the burden of making reasonable judgments about what is or is not necessary to safeguard their lives.
Thank
he
you,
didn't
sir.
Want to do that, even though it's necessary.
Thank you.
All right, there you have it. 591-8900. Let's go to Gary and get his reaction. Hi, Gary. You're on WLS.
Hi, Deborah. Second time calling.
Welcome back.
Thank you, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. 1892, our Constitution came with one accord and said our nation was a Christian nation. Abraham Lincoln, our 16th president, said those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. Andrew Jackson, our 7th president, said this. These are all quotes. The Bible is the rock on which our republic stands. He won that debate, Mr. Keyes, that he won it in his closing statement when he simply said something on the fact you cannot get rid of all the diseases we have in health by putting by trying to solve it with an aspirin, a cover-up. You've got to get to the core issues of this. You cannot get rid of poverty
Well, we have the proof of that, Gary, don't we?
Right.
I think we have the proof of that.
Right. You have to go back to the morals. If you'll take care of those first, then God will bless the nation. You kick God out and try to do it your way, you're not going to concede. Russia is not conceding.
And nobody else is. It's impossible to do that. Gary, I need to say thank you for your call. I was on a panel discussion at a university here with a number of journalists here in Chicago. And when I brought up the very same point, that when you look at communities where there is just, you know, broken families and, you know, you see all of the out-of-wedlock births and high rates of HIV infection, and I said it really does come back to not pumping more money to solve the problems. It really is getting to the heart and addressing the issues. You would have thought I said something really ugly. You really would have thought it. I'm Deborah Rowe, taking your calls here at 591-8900. This is News Talk 890 WLS.